root of the problem.
Start rooting for you, bud.
Yeah. Ah! Let's root around this subject.
Oh, but there's a little finger carrot.
I do not fertilize my root vegetables like I fertilize my tomatoes.
That is not safe for work.
Wow, could we, like, out-nerd ourselves anymore? I'll pull this one. That was a carrot.
That's like that's like you, like, defusing a bomb.
That's it.
Welcome back to the Helpful Gardeners podcast. We have a big reveal today, Colin.
You wouldn't even let me look in the bag.
No, I thought this was more fun because I went to the grocery store. And if you saw last episode, we were talking about the towering giant. So like peppers, tomatoes, corn, and how to grow them, how to take care of them. And so this week we're talking about root vegetables.
Going underground.
We're going underground.
Getting to the root of the problem.
Rooting for you, bud.
Yeah. Let's root around this subject.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, obviously the positive potato. Potatoes are underground.
Yeah, I think. Oh, sorry. I misunderstood. I thought that's all we would. Oh, I was friends. The positive potato becomes a weapon.
Okay. You ready? Big drum roll for the root vegetables.
Wow, that is pretty. You know, that's one of my favorite things about vegetables.
Yeah.
I know this is totally off piste, has nothing to do with the seeds. One of my favorite things is the aesthetic.
Yeah.
Like I love the color. Like there's no such thing as clashing colors in nature.
No, it's beautiful.
Right? Look at those bright red radishes and the carrots. Now, if you wore red and orange, bright red and orange together, people would be like, do you own a mirror? Like, but it works so well there. It's vibrant and healthy.
There's so many textures here too, right? And so we've got like we've got the beet, we've got some carrots.
I thought you were gonna lay down a beet. No. Settle down, Dr. Dre.
We got the parsnip.
Love parsnips.
You taught me about parsnip earlier this week. We've got some beautiful, I just love radishes.
They are so good.
They're so beautiful. My mom always grew them when we were growing up, and it was always one of my favorite things.
Do you find them hot?
Yeah, it's weird. It's kind of like arugula. It's like that little bit of spice.
It's peppery.
It's peppery.
It's like peppery hot. It's not hot, but there's a ting.
Yeah, my mom would always do this thing where she would put salt in her hand and then she would just like dip it. You know, the little.
I know it's not a root vegetable, but when we were kids, one of the best snacks, my dad had a huge rhubarb patch.
Yeah.
And mom would come out with her garden scissors. And she'd cut a stalk and then she'd cut the top off it. And we would have a little cup, a little plastic cup with sugar.
Yeah.
And you would just dip the rhubarb and scrunch it in the sugar.
That sounds so good. I've been meaning to try that ever since you told me. I've been meaning to try it.
So good. Okay. Such an easy snack.
Here's one, though, that I'd never seen before. I was never exposed to it. I want to know if you know what it is.
Daikon.
You know?
Yep.
Look at how big this thing is.
And they are so...
So the top of the plant is here.
Yeah, and those leaves have been trimmed off too.
Yeah.
Don't forget. So
like it was under the ground this far.
Yeah, and look how clean it is.
Yeah, they do a good job.
Daikon is so good. Yeah, it really is. It's you've never had it?
Never had it.
It's like watery and juicy, almost like a cucumber, but it's got the firmness and the crunch of like a kohlrabi.
Ooh.
Something so, so good.
Oh, and I do like that.
Shout out to Jenny.
That's so
hiding back here. You're just going to not mention Jenny? Okay, no problem. We'll just put that there.
You know, I want you to share something that you told me yesterday. About the beet.
Oh, the amount of sugar in them.
Yes, I had no idea the sugar content of beets.
Yeah, they have more sugar than fruits. Great hack for roasted vegetables. Yeah. So you chop them up, put beet in it. You can get golden beets, regular beets, whatever you want. Doesn't matter. Just make sure you have a beetroot. So I do beets, sweet potato, parsnip, and carrot. And then onion and garlic go in as well. But then when they're in the roasting pan, I do three tablespoons of olive oil and one heaped tablespoon of brown sugar.
Oh.
And I mix it together. And then the brown sugar caramelizes, but it pulls out the natural sugars. The sugar content in it. Same with parsnip. Parsnip has a sweetness to it.
Yeah.
Not even close to the beet. What is it? The beet's like 28 grams of sugar or something ridiculous. Like it is potent, but it's... very fibrous. It has a ton of good things. I have beet every day.
It was really fun to go to the grocery store and look at all of the things that grow underground, because like we're used to seeing this, right?
Yep.
But I was Googling, what does this look like in plant form? You know, I mean, it was really cool to see how everything sort of goes together. And you remember a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about, you know, some of the common varieties that you'll find at the grocery store, but from growing from seed, you get a really rare opportunity to grow some really neat varieties.
100%. Yep.
So in carrots, I found like different colored carrots. And like purple carrots, this is called deep purple. It's one of those coated seeds that we talked about last week. And then I found like a bunch of different kind of colored carrots. So like yellow carrots, like the traditional orange carrots. But it's like you can get so fun with it.
One of my favorite ways to do carrots, total hack. A number of seed companies do them. I can't remember off the top of my head, so I'm not going to name a company.
Yeah.
But I will say, have you ever seen the seed tape?
Aha, uh-huh. Yes. Okay, so yeah, we have one in the radish. What is seed tape?
So basically the seeds, radish seeds and carrot seeds and whatnot are tiny.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're putting them in and they start sprouting, a lot of times you've put more than one in the area. Mm. Well, the seed tape eliminates that and they're already spaced.
Yeah.
So you run the seed tape for however much room you've got. Say you've got 2 foot by 2 foot. Mm-hmm. You do 2 foot and then you make sure you've got that correct gap and then they're spaced properly already and you're not messing around with the seeds and you plant it at the depth, cover it up and away you go.
Oh, I love that because it kind of serves multiple purposes. You have this really easy thing you just lay down and it already kind of does the separating for you, but then you don't run into the risk of overcrowding and then having small carrots at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a win-win. Yeah. I love seed tape.
Okay. I've been watching a lot of Game of Thrones lately.
Nice.
No, there's no gardens. Actually, there is gardens in Game of Thrones, but nobody actively gardens in it. It's really sad.
No, everybody just walks through them plotting to kill other people.
Yeah. But there's a carrot.
They're all hate gardens. Throwback to a previous episode.
But there's a little finger carrot.
I was wondering where you were going with that, but I'm like, okay.
I don't know. I think, like, obviously, I'm sure they probably chose the name because it's small and it looks like a finger. But
probably
like,
more this than...
Can you imagine if we had...
It turns out it's got a little goatee.
And it speaks like this.
I'm not going to lie, though. If shows did stuff like that, where they're like, get the little finger carrot and get, like, the Arya apple or... or mountain carrot.
Why
or
not? Something.
I feel like I would absolutely buy into it.
Okay, so years ago, could we like out nerd ourselves anymore? But anyway, years ago, I was playing a D&D campaign. Somebody came out with the cookbook of that world.
That's cool.
So when you were reading about it and you read about like whatever meal they were eating, everything from like the ration packs that they would have and stuff like, and somebody came out with a cookbook so you could make the meals from that world.
That's amazing.
I never did it. I didn't cook at the time, but it was interesting.
I would love one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
We're talking about this. You know how normally you find onions in like a bulb form?
Yep.
And that's usually what... That's like the familiar thing you find at the garden center, right? But then I was like, oh, you can get them as seeds as well.
Yep. The other day I was at Superstore. They have three types of onion.
Okay.
Three. They've got white onion, Spanish onion, and red onion, which is actually purple. But anyway, I won't get into that. It's a big misnomer, but we'll let that go. Now, if you go to like seed potatoes, the little onions, mm-hmm. Way more choice.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go to actual seeds and that choice grows again.
Yeah. Although I hate to tell you, this was also a red onion.
But it's not red.
Is it? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, that's purple. It's like a deep purple. I mean, maybe I'll give you burgundy, which might be like red and purple, but it's not red.
Well, what about these? Have you ever seen, talking about really neat varieties, in the beet variety, normally, you know, we see... The traditional red thing, right?
Purple. It's not.
Sorry, the purple thing.
I really like the red of the daikon.
Okay, I'll get this right. Touchstone gold beets.
Yeah, gold beets on.
Which is cool. I've never tried a gold beet.
That's so good.
And this one was really fun. Look at this. It looks like a bullseye.
I always call it the bullseye. I know that's not what it's called, but gold beets, so good.
Yeah?
So it's a... Similar flavor profile, but different enough that it's worth getting.
So what seeds do you have?
Well, you only left me two, but thanks for that. I'm glad we're sharing. Oh, I just picked that up off the floor. I feel like you should be doing a magic trick, like pick a seat. Is this your seat? I have radish. You want to know something awesome about radish?
What?
They grow amazingly well in a pot.
Okay.
A number of people ask about, well, what can I grow in a pot? They have limited space or balcony or maybe limited maneuverability. They can't get around a garden. Maybe they don't need to grow a full garden or they want flowers, whatever the case might be. People are always looking for different ways to grow. And a number of years ago, I did a test and I think it was about 20, maybe 15, 20 might be pushing it, in about a 12-inch pot. Amazing.
Oh my God.
Amazing. I just had them on my balcony.
Love that. It's so accessible. Yeah,
they did so good. Two years ago, Harry and I were doing the garden. I know I've told you this story, but I'll share it with everybody because it throws Harry under the bus is the main part. No. So I was doing some of like the bigger and the heavier and the nastier jobs. All he had to do was plant the seeds. Okay. So really not labor intensive. Anywho, he wasn't in the mood to do it properly and he massively overplanted.
Oh, no.
Basically just kind of trenched an area out and poured seeds in it. Mm-hmm. And they started coming up as they do and they were not successful. I pulled out the radishes and they were misformed. They hadn't grown properly because they're all fighting for nutrients and everything. Yeah. It was not good. And he felt really bad, as he should. No, I'm kidding.
Gardening's accessible.
No, he did feel really bad. And I was like, don't worry about it. And he was like, well, what are we going to do? And I'm like, it's no big deal. I was like, we have two choices. We can rip them all out and we can start again. There's enough time. Radish are relatively fast growing. I was like, or we can leave them. I've never seen a radish flower. And he was like, really? And I was like, why not?
Yeah.
So we let everything go to flower that year. The carrots didn't make it to flower, unfortunately. But radish flowers, they're beautiful.
Oh, really? What do they look like?
Very small. So, and tall. Like I'm talking 3.5 foot tall.
Wow.
Pollinators went like ape for them. They were, it was, you couldn't go out into that area of the yard without seeing bees and butterflies everywhere. Mm-hmm. It was wild. It was so much fun. And then the little, so it's a long branch and tons of tiny little florets all over it. And they're pink and white, at least our variety.
Cute.
Was pink and white. This is actually really cool. And I took some pictures and I shared some pictures with friends. And like the vast majority of us, nobody had seen a radish flower.
Never. I've never seen one.
Because you don't plant radishes for the flower. That's not your goal.
I think like the only thing I've really seen gone to flower is like cauliflower flower, which is really cool.
Broccoli.
Have you seen broccoli? I've seen a broccoli flower. Seen mint go to flower, which I know we'll talk about in a future episode. I like the idea of growing some for vegetable and some for flowers and you sort of benefit the whole ecosystem.
It kind of changed my lens.
Yeah. Let's go briefly into, just because it's sort of how we went through things last episode, let's kind of go into some companion planting options. Do any of these, like the pepper, like to be on their own? Do you want to put these with anybody? Does it matter because they grow underground?
Most root vegetables are good on their own.
Good.
They like to have their clean rows. You don't need to worry about pollination.
Okay.
So you're not trying to bring in a pollinator. Mix up your onions, your leeks, your garlic. Keep away any root maggots maybe. But even then, I've never, ever once companion planted my root vegetables. Normally, I just do my root vegetables in a row. So it'll be radish, parsnip, carrot, beets, and they do amazing.
I love that. Yeah. I love when things are easy.
Except I didn't say it like this because I don't want people to think that I'm a total weirdo, but normally I try and do my rows alphabetically. Oh. Like I'm like arugula and then lettuce and then spinach. I just like things a little ordered.
So how do we grow these things? Do they need full sun? What do they need?
I've never done more than two crops of radish in a year. I think if you were doing succession planting, you could get three.
Ooh.
Okay. I've done two because normally I get enough radish. They keep really good. They happen pretty fast. I start my other ones normally when I'm ready to harvest those. A lot of times I've got limited space. Mm-hmm. So I wait until I've got space and then I put in the next one. They grow relatively fast.
You know, I've never done that. I've done a one and done, but I've never grown again in the same season. And I like, why? Why haven't I done that?
Because I'm going to talk about that really quick. And maybe we can look into that at a different episode. Calgary's a weird city. I don't know whether it's the weather or whatnot. And it's not a knock. Obviously, Calgary's my home. But I have never lived anywhere where people genuinely think planting season hits a hard stop at the end of July.
Yeah.
Like the amount of times I've talked to people and they're like, well, I'd love to put in a raspberry bush, but planting season is over this year. And you're like, it's July 18th.
Yeah, because like technically you would have probably a few more months, hey?
I've planted trees in November.
Yeah.
Like it's so... Maybe that has something to do with it here, because I know a lot of people who do it in Montreal. Mm-hmm. Okay. A ton of people who did it. The other one can also be if you don't have enough seeds, we've seen how much our seeds diminish. Mm-hmm. So we have full complement of seeds, everything that you can find right now. Yeah. Some sell out and we try and replenish. But you're going to find your best variety of seeds now. Come July, you don't find too many. Now, again, that's supply and demand. They have the seeds, but nobody's asking for them.
Yeah.
So we're not going to bring them in if we're not selling them. Mm-hmm. But if we don't have them, people can't buy them. So it's a weird cycle. But yeah. And then you're not going to find any pre-grown plants at that time.
True. Yeah.
So that could have a lot to do with it. But the vast majority of us, there's too many seeds in one pack to do one planting.
Yeah. Like I think in this one, in the radish, it says 200 seeds.
There you go.
So you could get 200 radishes.
Yep. So you do 100 and then you do another 100 or you 75, 75, 50. Look at me blasting out the math.
50. Look at you.
Yeah. 50, 65, 10. Come on. there you go. Do 10 in a pot. See?
Yeah.
But a lot of these are relatively cold hardy. Okay. Oh. A lot of these are like, you can't be planting them when you're at risk of heavy frost or have you ever done that where you're so excited to get in the garden? You're like, I'm going to go work in my garden. It's all thawed. And you start working and the top two layers are melted and it's ice beneath that you're like, oh, I'll just go back inside now, will I? or the part that's in full sun, you're turning the soil, ridiculous. And then you get to the shade and it's like frozen solid.
Oh my gosh, all the time.
Yeah. So I think that can be a barrier to some people, but you can, if your area is ready to go, where you might get a very light frost, but the seed hasn't even come up yet. There's no risk of a hard frost. Get them in. Get them started.
And like even on the tail end of the season, they can go for a lot longer than some of the other veggies.
Yeah, and you can look at covering them if you're worried about a frost. Yep. You don't want to obviously get a snow on them, but you can start them indoors for sure. And then getting them outdoors, again, always follow the instructions because some of them will actually do okay in the shade. I do mine in full sun, but I do know some people not heavy shade. It's not going to take the same shade as some of your leafy greens at all. But if you're kind of on that cusp where it's not 8+ hours, but you're like 6 to 8 hours, mm-hmm. I know some people that have said they've had good luck. It's sheltered, it stays warm, and it gets a good amount of sun. Go for it.
Kind of with last week when we were talking about inoculant and some specialty kinds of things that you'll need to do. Do you foresee anything that you need to do for these, like pre-soaking or like these are just super easy?
They're hardy.
Yeah.
They're tough. Like they're a tough veg. They look like root vegetables. So your other vegetables, they're all dainty and they want to be in a salad and they're like, oh, look at me.
Yeah.
Your root vegetables always are like the farmer, like, hey there, fella. Yes, I absolutely give all of my plants voices. I give everything voices. But they always look hardier.
Yeah, they do.
Like you eat a meal with like roasted veggies or root veggies, a root vegetable soup.
Yes.
It feels hard. Like a nice light tomato and basil soup is good in the summer. Mm-hmm. a hearty root vegetable soup is good in the winter.
Oh, you know what I love right now is sheet pan dinners.
Well, oh.
So sheet pan dinner, like you put like.
You got to stop putting groceries on the table all the time.
I know.
Next week, cookies.
No, but like I love sheet pan dinners because a lot of these you can use in those. You just put them on a pan. You put some potatoes on. You put, you know, like a little chicken thigh on the other side. You just season everything and it all just goes into the oven. And then you just take it out in half an hour. And then it's just the easiest dinner. It's packed with nutrients. And I mean, like you were talking about all of the things that are packed in just like a single beet.
Yeah. We always talk about growing. And, you know, one of the reasons we talk about growing is variety and you can control it. But another one is how healthy it is.
Yeah.
There's something about harvesting your own veggies mm-hmm. and eating them. And it just feels better.
Yeah.
It just that like when I eat like that, there are times now and the Colin of X years ago is like, you're a loser. But there's times now where I catch myself craving vegetables.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, I need something good. Yeah. I have to make something proper. And that's where these come in. So they are densely packed, lots of fibers mm-hmm. in them. They make you feel fuller. So it helps. Like one good thing about the beet, with that amount of natural sugar combined with the fiber and how densely packed it is, the sugars break down slower, so it gives you more energy and it gives you a lot of fiber, so it makes you feel fuller for longer. So it actually helps control blood sugar and cravings.
So far, there's been a lot of positives for yep. root vegetables. And can you grow all of these in pots? No.
I don't know. I've never done it.
No.
I've never done it because the problem is with some of them, as far as I understand, and don't hold me to this, when they're in a pot, the pot can get too hot, right? Mm-hmm. And they're basically not able to grow. Like they're growing underground. So on a hot day, you dig 6 inches underground. That ground is cool.
Yeah.
Okay. You go 6 inches into a black pot. The soil is hot.
Yeah.
It's warm. It's humid. Our pots aren't always really good for drainage. Mm-hmm. And they absolutely need good drainage. They cannot be in any kind of standing water. That's the number one thing about the soil. So you put them in a pot and your drain holes start getting clogged or something ends up happening. And now that soil is really hot and really moist. You're inviting in pathogens. You're inviting in problems. Mm-hmm. So you really want to make sure that you're allowing your soil to dry out and you're allowing a little bit of coolness. You're not just basically cooking them in that pot.
Okay. So probably best bet is going to be the garden bed. And much like we were talking about with tomatoes and peppers, you want a nice nutritious soil yep. that you're so would you recommend sort of the same thing? So compost,
be careful making it too nutritious. You want it well drained is more important than nutritious.
Okay.
So you don't want a heavy clay and you don't want it too rich. Mm-hmm. You don't want it filled with compost and peat moss like you would do for your tomatoes and peppers, because it has to be able to hold the vegetable.
Oh, right.
So you don't want it too loose. Mm. Right? You don't want a loose soil for all the fibrous roots, because these are basically all tuberous roots.
Yeah.
So you really, really want it to not be heavy, because I just said it needs to be well drained. But you don't want it super rich, super mixed, where you're picking it up and it's just sifting through your hand. You want to find that nice mix where it's a healthy, good garden soil. Mm-hmm. But just so people are aware, you can do them in raised planters.
Okay.
I'm not talking about a lifted planter like a veggie pod. I'm sure you could, because veggie pods are big enough. You plant away from the sides. That soil is going to stay pretty cool. But I'm talking about like 6 inches up.
Okay.
Those kind of raised planters where there's still earth beneath it, you absolutely can go into that'll be more than fine. I've never done it in a pot, and it's just every time I've thought about it, because obviously it's something I'm not afraid to try new things. I'm always like, I just don't see it working. Because the thing is, you don't have to worry about the radish. You know, we've got radishes, but positive potato fell out. But if you just compare the depth and you consider how much of that is already being cut off. That's why I think radishes will do. Now that being said, maybe Littlefinger carrot. Maybe Peter Baelish carrot.
Maybe look at those more dwarf varieties.
Maybe this carrot will grow in a pot.
You know, oh my gosh. I think I did actually see, like on some seed packs, you can see great for containers. What is that? We didn't talk about that.
No, I forgot, because How did I die? Oh, because we picked up the radish. Then we talked about seed coating and how small the seeds were.
Like, you're hiding a seed that we haven't even discussed
yet. For people who are listening, I'm hiding the name right now, and I'm just going to show it to the camera, and then I'm going to ask Brandy what it looks like.
Oh, it looks like this.
Yep. It is not a parsnip.
It is not a parsnip.
I have never grown this before. I thought it was a parsnip too.
Yeah.
I genuinely did. When I looked
it up. It looks so similar.
Yeah. It is parsley Hamburg rooted. So it's a member of the parsley family. Parsley and parsnip are not related. Parsley is a herb. We're talking about herbs at a later date.
That's right.
Yeah. And apparently this was a very common vegetable 100 years or so ago, and it fell out of favor, but it's making a comeback. You can actually use the leaves as parsley.
So you can use the entire vegetable. Yep.
So you can cut the leaves and they become your herb as either a garnish or a flavor. And then you've got the root and it does have, apparently, I've never grown this. I've never even seen it. And apparently it's making a comeback. So that is brand new. Well, for me, I mean, it's not brand new. I literally said they had it 100 years ago. Never seen it before.
That's cool.
I thought it was a type of parsnip.
I like that.
I really did.
So let's move on to some structures, because last week we talked about things like netting and cages. I don't imagine you would need anything for these.
You got to keep the bunny rabbits off them.
Really?
Yeah. They love the skunks.
Even squirrels?
Squirrels will dig them up, absolutely.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but squirrels will dig them up partially to be vandal, but partially to eat them. A squirrel will absolutely dig into them. They are, I mean, there's a reason why the picture of the rabbit is him eating a carrot. You know, if you Google image rabbit, cartoon rabbit, I'm willing to bet 70% of them, he's got a carrot in his mouth.
And I mean, the greens look pretty appetizing too. Do you know, I probably shouldn't say this, never mind, keep going.
Now you gotta say it.
So I had some carrots and they had this green stuff on top. And so I put it outside because I was like, there we have a neighborhood bunny. And I was like, oh, I can feed the bunny and give him the bunny. But what if it killed the bunny?
It wouldn't kill the bunny good. At all. unless you were like spraying it with Roundup before you put it.
but yeah, I fed our neighborhood bunny some carrot tops thinking that they would like
it. Yeah. When we were kids, we had guinea pigs. Mm-hmm. Okay. So many of the table scraps went to the guinea pigs. Carrot tops with the leaves on them. any of those mammals will absolutely dig up your root vegetables. Mm-hmm. Some will dig them up and just kind of be like, oh, I'm not interested. Pests like aphids and whatnot, they're opportunistic. Mm. Now, I'm not saying they won't go for carrots, but if there's tomatoes right there, they're probably going to go for the tomatoes.
Oh, okay.
Right? I genuinely cannot think of a time where I have had to treat my root vegetables for any kind of like aphid or spider mite.
And do we have to be worried about like disease?
The problem with root vegetables is that you don't know there's a problem till you lift them.
What?
Yep. So So
that's the downside here of root vegetables, is that if there is a problem, it's under the soil.
And I was fairly certain when I saw the radishes coming up. I was fairly certain they were planted too close. I was like, that, like, you know me, I'm willing to push boundaries, but yeah. I was like, oh, they are like, they're coming up a centimeter apart.
Okay.
And I was like, let's see what happens. I'm not going to thin them out. I'm kind of curious. Didn't develop at all. However, I have also planted correctly. Everything looks like it's happening right. And I know I'm not alone with this. And you go to pull out the carrot and it's tiny. Yeah. It's underdeveloped. Or you dig something up and it's got scab.
What's scab?
Okay, so scab is actually a bacterial disease.
Okay.
And it's predominant in potatoes, but it can spread to your other root vegetables, all root vegetables, beets, parsnips, carrots. It doesn't actually stop the development of the root vegetable.
Okay.
But the vegetable is covered in lesions, like basically in scabs.
Oh my.
So you have to dig them out and cut them off, and it's extremely unappetizing. if that is in your soil, it is very hard to get rid of.
Oh, no. So this could impact like future growing. Yeah. So
a lot of times they'll tell you to not do any root vegetables in that soil for 3 to 5 years.
What? That long?
But that's why we talked about, and again, we talked about space and limitations, but that's one of the reasons why we talk about crop rotations.
Oh, okay. So if you can do crop rotation, then that might be.
And then the other one is because this has been such a problem for like eons, they have developed scab-resistant potatoes. Mm-hmm. So they can actually fight the bacteria. It is a bacteria, so there's not much you can do, but there are ways to lessen it. So lighter soils, incorrect watering, incorrect irrigation, so it's not draining properly, that can add to it. So you really want to keep an eye on that, because if it does come in, you have a problem. Last week when we were talking about like soil activators and whatnot, and they're bacteria, but mm-hmm. they are a good bacteria. It's what I tell you. Know, back in the day, there used to be soil sterilizers.
What?
Now, I don't know what was in them. I have no idea. I never used one, mm-hmm. just so you know. I've never used a soil sterilant. We still, to this day, get asked about it. And basically, it would kill absolutely everything in your soil. But the problem is, what they started realizing is, one, how devastating that is for the ecosystem.
Yeah.
But then the other thing, so if you take any area of land, and this is in nature, and it's designed this way for a reason, but our yards aren't nature. We're tweaking them. We're changing the balance. You take any natural area and you devastate it, clear cut it, natural forest fire, whatever, landslide. And you now have just bare earth, healthy, regular earth, but it's bare earth. What is the first thing you see growing? Weeds.
Yeah.
Weeds. But the reason they grow is because they actually start replenishing the soil and they start stabilizing the soil with their roots. They start holding the soil in place so that the more complex and bigger plants can start coming in. So if you're in a forest, the weeds come in. And then the trees start coming in. Then as the trees get bigger, they form a canopy. Now the weeds can't get the shade. They start dying back. Mm-hmm. And that's where we find the balance. So there is actually a progression there. But we don't have that. So people were sterilizing their soils. Nothing was growing properly because there was no healthy bacteria or anything good happening. And then all of the bad stuff came back first. They'd be like, well, I don't understand this. I'm going to sterilize it again.
To even recognizing that there are beneficial bugs.
Yep.
That's huge, right?
Well, a few years ago, could you imagine 10 years ago, you're at the cash and somebody's like, I've got aphids. And you're like, yeah, you need more bugs. They'd look at you like your head was on backwards. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, when I first started here, back when I was a teenager, the common thing was always chemical controls, right? Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, predator bugs, like you said, was never even a thought.
Nope. Biological agents are significant. Fight nature with nature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But one thing I want to talk about with weeds, and this is, again, really common in root vegetables, and it's happened to me 100%. That's why I tell these stories again. I don't ever want to come across like, I'm perfect. I've never made this mistake, but you might make it. I've absolutely done this. So gone out, prepped my yard, planted my root vegetables. Life gets busy in the spring, so they're watered. They get what they need. And then I go out and, oops, I missed a week, missed a couple of weeks. Now I go out to weed. And I'm not 100% sure what's a weed and what's a veggie.
Oh, no.
And now the weeds are competing for the nutrients that my root vegetables need, and they're crowding out. But what if I pull the wrong one?
So what do you do?
Have you ever seen people do little mounds of soil and they plant in the mounds of soil?
Oh, I have never seen that.
Okay, so you do a little mound, like a couple of inches high.
Yeah.
Kind of think like a little hill, and you run the hill and you pack it down, you firm it down like a sandcastle, and you plant in that. Anything that comes in that, wait until it starts fully developing before mm-hmm. you pull it. Wait until you can identify it. Anything that grows in the area that you walk on, get rid of immediately.
Cool.
Or if you don't have the time to do that, it's not something you're keen on, run string.
Yeah.
Run a string down where you planted your veggies. Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing. At the end of every row, you put in a little marker that says carrots, parsnips. Okay, great. I know that whole row is carrots, but what's a carrot and what's a weed?
Yeah.
They're all coming up. They look alike. Everything is small.
Yeah, got little dicotyledons going on.
Exactly. And you're like, I'll pull this one. That was a carrot.
That's so, like that's like you like diffusing a bomb. Yeah. That's it.
Do I take the 2-leaf or the 3-leaf?
I think there's an Instagram reel on the way.
Yeah. Wiping the sweat off your brow. You're on the radio. Okay, Colin, listen to me. Gonna walk you through this. So you can do that, but if you plant in a row, run a string down the row. And then do the same thing with the mound. Anywhere that's under the string, just leave until you can identify.
Okay.
What I always tell people, if push comes to shove, weed after you identify. You can, there will always be time to pull a weed. It's very hard to replant something that's germinated and been growing for a month. And you're like, yeah, that's a weed. Yoink. It was a person. Yeah. And I've absolutely done it. It's absolutely happened to me. You know, I keep my garden relatively weed free. I allow some weeds. I'm not one of those. It doesn't have to be perfect. My attitude has definitely changed over the years. But with my root vegetables, you absolutely, until they're fully established, their leaves are big, they're really getting all the sun, and you can go out and weed as normal, it's a good idea to stay on top of it.
Let's go into some general care instructions, just in case they differ from different types of fruits and vegetables that you're growing. If we're talking about fertilizer, I'm assuming you can just use an all-purpose fertilizer or a vegetable-specific. What are your thoughts?
Go real light on that.
Oh, okay. That's a good tip.
Go real light on fertilizer and really, really, really make sure you read the fertilizer. And I mean, this sounds so common, and I never want to come across like, what, you didn't think of this? Because people don't. But it's a root vegetable, okay? So what you're eating is the root of the plant.
Yeah.
What is the uptake of all nutrients of a plant? It is the root. You do not want a heavy fertilizer. Mm. You do not want... I know a lot of people will not actually fertilize the root veggies. What they will do is when they're preparing the soil, they'll put in a granular time release.
Oh.
They'll put in a gran... they don't want to use a water soluble.
Yeah.
Because there's too much uptake. Mm-hmm. There's too much uptake of fertilizers. Now you're using an organic fertilizer. You're not fertilizing heavy and you're not fertilizing X amount of time before harvest. The plant is using those nutrients. They're not just sitting there. But just be very aware. I do not fertilize my root vegetables like I fertilize my tomatoes. And I get it as well. Tomatoes are a lot of water, uptake of moisture. That's what's filling the tomato. But it's not the direct uptake. Mm-hmm. So by the time any kind of fertilizer, any kind of MPK gets anywhere close to my tomatoes, it has gone through the roots. It's gone through all of like the stem and the trunk of the plant. It's gone through the leaves. Then it's getting to the fruit. It's not quite the same. Mm-hmm. So really just keep an eye on your fertilizer for that. And you don't want to over-fertilize either. Some people swear that that is going to help scab. I've never seen anything definitive. Have you ever read any garden law from back in the day, like 100 years ago, 200 years ago?
Like a little bit, but...
There are some great ones. There's like... So if you want your iris to grow best, so iris grow from like a corm, from like a tuber.
Right.
So that big brown thing you see on the surface, that's kind of their main root, and then they put little roots off that. So people say that should always face south. Yeah, it makes not a blind bit of difference because it's not photosynthesizing. The leaf comes up, the leaf will face south, you're good. But people go, no, that has to face south. And I believe it's iris. There's a myth that if you really want your iris to do good, they should be planted at midnight by a naked young man.
No, you're joking.
You've got the computer. You've got...
No.
100%.
No.
Google iris planting naked young man. I don't want to look in your...
That is not safe for work.
Yeah, I didn't even think like, yeah, you're going to put that into Google.
How about garden lore is a good...
garden lore, iris, and people have heard this and they go, well, no, that's how you do it. And here's the thing. You plant that corm facing south. Well, of course it's going to do good. Okay, it's in a full sun location. It's facing south. The leaf comes up. The iris does good. You're like, well, that's the reason. You're like, not really.
Yeah.
Plant that corm too deep facing south. Your iris isn't going to do too good. Like... So there's a number of fun things that you can look at when it comes to planting veggies and plants like that.
You know what I never found? I never found a root fruit.
No. No, they're
Are there no fruits that grow underground? It's just all kind of veggies?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no... I can't remember the exact classifications now. But it's something like, and I'm talking very general because it's all different. Like strawberry technically isn't a fruit. It's something else. And watermelon is a berry.
Yeah.
Right? Like I'm not going to get into all of those weird classifications. But it's something like a vegetable is when you eat at the stem or the root of the plant that is actually growing. A fruit is something that comes from a pollinated flower on the plant.
Okay.
Now, again, I'm not going to, because I know cucumber and people go, well, what about this?
I know there's so many gray areas.
And I'm just going to talk very, very generally. Yeah. So broccoli flowers, radish flowers,
yeah.
But you don't eat the flowers.
That's right.
When the flowers are pollinated, you don't eat those seeds. You're eating the actual, so if nobody's seen that before, the flower of a broccoli actually comes out the broccoli head. It's very alien looking.
It's really cool. I wonder if I can just quickly bring it up.
The yellow flowers that come out, I let one go to flower because I'd never seen it before. And it was really, I was actually the same year when I did the radish because I got inspired.
Do you know, mine went to flower in my fridge.
No, it didn't. Really?
I forgot I had a broccoli in there.
And it went to, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, look. Yep. Yeah, it's just like little tiny flowers. Yep. It's super
and
cute.
I ate them and they're gross.
Oh.
They're extremely bitter with no proper flavor.
Of course you would eat it, you nerd.
Well, you've got to find out about it. But all of the good stuff that makes the flavor has now got into forming a flower.
Yeah.
That's we'll talk about this with herbs, but that's why you can't let your herbs go to flower. Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely let them go to flower if you want to enjoy the flower, of course. But don't think it can go to flower and then you can eat it. So the vegetable is actually the formation of the plant is a vegetable. A fruit is a pollinated flower. Mm-hmm. And that's how, so rhubarb is a vegetable.
Oh yeah, it would be.
Yeah, rhubarb is a vegetable, not a fruit.
Which is so funny because I bet you growing up, you were probably thinking it was a fruit because it's used in like desserts and stuff.
Exactly, it's sweet.
Yeah, it's sweet.
It's sweet. And yeah, tomato is a fruit, but it's a vegetable. So again, we're not going to go into the class. You call rhubarb a fruit. Nobody is going to be like, oh, well, actually, no, there will be people out there who are, you can't say anything.
No, you can't say anything.
Yeah,
you have to know your own truth.
Yeah, do not go on social media and make any claims ever.
No, okay.
No claims on social media anymore. But that's that. So you wouldn't find a fruit root vegetable, a fruit root vegetable.
I know, fun to say fruit root. Okay, quickly, pick your favorite vegetable out of this bowl. Oh no, after everything we've talked about today, this is really hard.
Yeah, like that.
My favorite would be, we missed one.
Which one did we not talk about? Oh.
Do you know what this is?
Turnip? Rutabaga?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Same, potato.
Yeah, it says a purple topped turnip. I've never had one of these before.
Oh, okay. Best way to prepare them is peel it, mm-hmm. Chop off the top, chop off the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay, then cut it into about 1-inch squares and then throw the whole thing in the compost because it's disgusting.
Okay, this is your least favorite.
I do not like turnip. No. okay, fun thing. You can Google this too.
Yeah.
So in England, we didn't have pumpkins when I was growing up.
Oh my
so
gosh.
This is what we used to carve jack-o'-lanterns out of.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
And we literally, there you go.
Oh my goodness.
So you put a string through it.
Are you kidding me?
You would actually, so you'd take your turnip, you'd cut the top off. I never did it because it was too hard. My dad used to do it.
Yeah.
And you would cut the top off and then you would dig it out. Any idea how hard it is to dig this out? God love my dad for the stuff he did for us. Then you cut your weird little face. Then you run a string through it because it's so heavy and you'd carry it around. And that's what you would hold up for Halloween. That's up your creepy turnip.
That's just wild. Yeah. Like, look at that.
Yep.
Hey.
Creepy turnip. And that's really cool. They look creepier than a pumpkin. They do. Like pumpkins look friendly. Pumpkins are like, I'm fat and sassy. Look at me. I'm orange. Turnips are like, I'm sickly white. Purple, and you've carved triangles into my eyes.
They're so cool. Yeah. No, but I mean, there's so much to love about root vegetables. So, I would have to say my favorite's radish.
Or
carrots. Oh, it's hard again.
My favorite is the beet.
Yeah.
My favorite is the beet, but I adore radishes and I love parsnips. And actually, I don't use it enough because we're creatures of habit, right?
Yeah.
So I never think to buy daikon, but whenever I have it, I love it.
I think, well, I bought it now. I'm going to have to use it. So
it's so good in, I know some people cook it and prepare it. Like to do with kohlrabi. Actually, I'm not a fan of it that way. I like it fresh.
Okay.
I like it just cleaned, peeled, take the skin off it. Maybe some people eat the skin. I haven't. I don't know. And then chop it up kind of like you would a cucumber, cut it into cubes, whatever, and eat it. In order, coming in third is the parsnip, followed by the radish.
Yeah.
And then the beet takes gold.
Yeah. Because
it's a gold beet. Woo! Gold beets by Dre.
That's really cool.
Dr. Dre should have a beet farm.
I think he does.
Does he? Oh my God.
I think he does.
Hold on, I said that years ago and nobody found it funny. And hold if on. He did it, Dr. I want a Dre. Consulting fee, Dr. Dre.
Beet farm.
I'll take 8% of royalties off one song.
Oh, maybe. Hold on. Yeah. Beets by Farmer Dre. I don't know. Somebody looked this up and said it to us in our inbox because we need to know if Dr. Dre has a beet farm because that's brilliant.
Yeah, beets by Dre. How many people would buy that?
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. Harry would be like, oh, well, we need beets now.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's like what we're talking about the Game of Thrones, right? Yep. If the Game of Thrones came out with seeds out. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Beets by Dre.
Beets by Dre.
Yeah.
Well, that was really
Iceberg
fun.
Iceberg lettuce by Ice Cube.
Oh gosh, the rapper's garden. When we were talking about themed gardens?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And then you could name the whole garden after Coolio and call it Gangster's Paradise. Oh my God.
Look at all of this, this inspiration we're spewing.
Exactly.
But that was really fun. We're going to throw all of this up onto our blog, our show notes over at goldenacre.ca/blog. You can go and check out all of these seeds that we were talking about today. Get some inspiration for your own garden. I mean, it's getting to that time where we're going to start seed starting. So if anything inspired you today, get on it.
Yeah.
And if you are interested in going on Spotify and answering our questions and our polls, we have those up. We'd love to hear from you. info@goldenacre.ca. And you can just put somewhere in the subject line, just put podcast so that we see it. We're available on Instagram, Facebook. We're on YouTube now.
We're doing a video
podcast and we're really excited about that. We're everywhere.
Yeah.
And next week, we're actually going to be talking all about leafy greens and herbs.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
They're easy to grow. They're fast to grow. You can grow them year round and you've got a really good chance of success. So they're great, great way to introduce people to gardening, and they taste delicious. You can put them in salads and pastas and soups. You can make tea. So many good things.
I love that you can do it inside and outside too.
Yeah, right? So many good things. Like, yeah, it's not like, oh, start them indoors. It's like, no, grow them to completion indoors.
Put them in your kitchen. Yeah. It's amazing. I love it. Well, we'll talk more about that next weekend.
Okay, goodbye, everyone.